The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
And there you have it. It is your Artist of the Month for March 2018 right here on Radio Memphis Around the World, Hannah Johnson and the Broken Hearts. That song you just heard, Morning Cocktail, off her album Shaken. And here is somebody who's a UK Country Music Awards 2018 nominee. You know, we're talking Country Artist of the Year nominee, Female Country Singer of the Year nominee for Country Album of the Year, the album Shaken, all right? And this is why I am so thrilled to have this music, you know, only because this is somebody who got country right. All right. And if you don't know anything, you know, the record you were just, you know, one of the songs you just heard from the record Shaken, you know, this is one that she winds up, she dives and delves deep into her influences of old country. She delves into influences from the blues as well as honky tonk music. And of course, you know, and that choice of music to her is a very, very, very important. And, you know, with that being said, you know, she pulls in, you know, from the Farron Youngs, the George Jones and the Ray Prices in her heart. Okay. And of course, and she does this, you know, during a time where, you know, fashionably everybody's into, like, you know, the country pop, you know, they're in the pop sound and things like that. Man, she goes hardcore to the gut of where this music truly comes from. And of course, you know, she's gonna, you know, her sound gives Patsy Cline a run for her money, okay? And, you know, and straight up, you know, straight up, she's got it. Now, we were trying to get her on the phone last week, okay, you guys? If those of you who tried to tune in last week, you understood that we were having some technical difficulties, and I apologize if anybody, you know, was trying to tune in then and missed that opportunity. But guess what? I have Hannah Johnson calling in all the way from the UK right now, calling Memphis, talking to me on Radio Memphis Around the World. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her in. Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad we get to do this finally.
I know.
Thank you.
We've been talking for ages.
So we're friends, girl. Girl, we know each other. Yeah, we do nails. Man, we got all of this. While I have you on the phone, and before we kind of get into your world, I need to give a big, huge, huge, huge shout out to Kevin right. Walsh, Batty Walsh. Batty Walsh, you know, out of the UK. I know him, you know, because of the Radio Memphis Road Crew radio series, you know, that we do on Radio Memphis. He's also, you know, the UK, you know, he's entertainment, you know, tech services, you know, he is roadie to the stars, okay? And we've become fast and furious and fantastic friends and family. And he was the one that was like, Dee, I need you to hear her. I need you to listen to this. And the moment, Hannah, I heard your stuff, and I was like, oh my God, she got it right. This is like real country. Are you kidding? Fantastic choice. So, and I know Batty's tuned in. Much love, honey. Thank you so much for bringing her to us here at Radio Memphis, man. Because I'm gonna tell you, sister, your music is fantastic.
Well, I really appreciate that, and thank you for a great introduction.
Oh my goodness, are you kidding? Last week's was better. let me tell you why is, you know, and those of you that are tuned in, very, very special phone call in from our Artist of the Month right here in Radio Memphis Around the World for March 2018. We got a call in from the UK from Hannah Johnson herself, Hannah Johnson and the Broken Hearts. What's beautiful is that I got to do some research and I got to learn a little bit about you. And I got to learn about your influences. And, you know, Hannah, one of the things that you are such a diehard about is that doing it the right way and getting the influences. And I mean, and you're like hardcore. Look, I want Patsy Cline. I want old school, you know, I want George Jones. I want the real deal, you know, music. And I'm just curious, where in the hell did you get that voice?
Well, I don't know. I guess just working at this business for a while. I've been singing professionally since I was 15, and me and my sister made a bluegrass band with our dad, and his one condition of doing it was that we had to play a show every week. And I really think now when people ask me about that and levels of confidence as well, I think if you can hone your craft by doing it publicly, something very different happens from when you rehearse to when you take it on stage. And I think having that at such a young age and then doing it for the best part of, I don't know, eight, nine years.
Oh, wow.
Playing, you know, obviously we've played more shows than that some weeks, but always having that weekly show to aim for helped me develop it as an artist, musically, and of course my singing especially.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny too, you know, because obviously you live in Birmingham, okay? There is, and you know, and of course we're in Memphis, and so I'm always, you know, I always try to envision in my mind, you know, what it looks like, you know, what you're looking at, what you guys are dealing with, you know. And there's you know, there's different, you know, culturally there's some things that are different, but also too, you know, there's, you know, with what you guys have going on, you know, this is the impression I get, that there's such a place, you know, for you being able to go out and gig and everybody, you know, kind of jump in. And one of the things that I found even more interesting is that over the course of time, your biggest fans wind up being people like, oh, I don't know, Ronnie Wood, like, and Robert Plant. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, I guess it's just, a lot of hard work and being in the right place at the right time. The Robert Plant gig we got when we opened for him at the Guildhall, I think, I can't remember the name of it, but we were asked to open for him, and we'd opened for Imelda May and done a big tour with her and done one of her records, and he rang her and she recommended us, so that was how that came about. And then with Ronnie Wood, I guess that's a bit different because we are actually quite good friends with Sally Wood, his wife.
Oh, nice.
And I've got to know them over the last couple of years or so. Actually, probably before then, because Ronnie actually played the Toy Hearts, my bluegrass band. He played us on a radio show, and then someone came to a gig and said, yeah, I heard you, Ronnie Wood was speaking great about your band last night and played you. And I was like, I don't think so. I think you've got that wrong. And then we found out that Sally's parents, Colin and Allison, have been, you know, coming to our shows forever.
Oh, wow.
For many, many years. So that's how that worked out.
Isn't that funny?
He asked me to play for his 70th birthday party where they live this year. So that was, or last year, should I say. I forget that it's the new year. So that was a great thing. And I'm just so pleased that he likes what I do. I mean, I sent him my CD, and then that's kind of it. Once you give someone your CD, you know, you can't really do much more.
Right.
If he doesn't have anything to say, and he did, and I was so grateful for that.
Well, apparently, yeah, he's very fond of you, and yes, and it was, you know, because he's also a radio host himself, and so, you know, nod to him for sure. It is so important what you represent, Hannah, and you know, and I know you realize, you know, as far as the sound, you know, as far as, you know, the country and stuff, and you know, everybody would sit there, and at one point everybody may question the timing, you know, as far as, you know, the stylistic thing about your music, but you know, there is something so resonating, and there's something that is so, you know, fantastic, you know, about the quality of what you kind of put in together, and I have to sit there and think, I go back now, I know that your family band, you know, what you're talking about, you mentioned, you know, as far as with your, you know, your family and your sister and your dad and everybody. Now, they were called the Toy Hearts, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we played bluegrass music predominantly.
Perfect.
Yeah, bluegrass.
Perfect.
Which is another, again, very honest and real type of country music. There's not much that you can hide in bluegrass.
No, you have to know. You kind of have to know what you're doing in bluegrass and stuff. And, you know, I personally appreciate it. And I tell you, it's so funny. You know, I always joke. People who tune in, they know sometimes from time to time I'll talk about my pops, my dad. You know, and my dad, he's from the Bronx, right? And, of course, he's got some Irish, Ukrainian. He's got mixed in with him and stuff like that. You know, and he's like this total rock and roll dude. But I can remember as a kid, you know, like, you know, he would be hiding in the basement, and he would have all these, like, these bluegrass tapes, right? These bluegrass 8-tracks, okay? And I remember sitting there and listening to it. So, you know, and knowing that, you know, you had to get it right. The influence, though, you know, you wound up doing a lot of stuff, you know. You're part of the programs, you know, you're part of, you know, you're actually alumni of, you know, the bluegrass programs, you know, and things like that. You know, for here, for America as well as Europe. Is this an influence, you know, from your parents?
Yeah, I guess, have my dad to thank for when we were young. He would play all sorts of types of music and make it all available to us, and just be really encouraging when we did like something. And that included Hank Williams, Bill Monroe, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, you know, all of it. But yeah, there was something about traditional country honky tonk music, and indeed, you know, bluegrass, that really spoke to me and my sister, and indeed western swing. Well, I'd say those three,
right.
The three genres within country, I guess you could say.
Sure.
We really kind of we got addicted to, and we just wanted to play all these records over and over again, like the Johnson Mountain Boys, like real kind of early raw bluegrass stuff. We loved it, and if Dad hadn't have made all that available, I don't think, you know, I'd be here doing this now. But he never forced it upon us, and he never rammed it down our throats, but he just let those records, you know, kind of linger around.
Wow.
Hopefully picked them up, and we did.
And you did. Well, you know, and it's funny because, you know, it makes perfect sense, you know, in reading about you and learning about, you know, some of your background. You know, ultimately, you know, as a young child, you know, you were always around some type of music. Obviously through your parents. You're around, you know, theater, you're around TV and stuff. And so this crazy circus, I mean, ultimately becomes the life that you know. This is what you know, right? Do you think that has an ultimate impact, you know, on the quality and style of your music?
Oh, definitely. That's a really good question, actually. And I think, you know, having done this, I'm 32 now, and having done this 17 years, definitely shaped the person that I am today, and I was so young when I started.
Wow.
And I think, yeah, the kind of realities, my realities are very different from my peers and my friends around me that don't work within the music industry. Kind of the choices I've had to make, some of the sacrifices I've had to make, and, you know, I'm really happy with all of the decisions that I've made because of the satisfaction I get from what I do artistically, which, you know, is the most important thing to me, and my happiness and kind of my fulfillment as a person. But I'm not living in luxury. I don't have the same kind of security that people get with having full-time regular jobs and holidays and the rest of it. But, you know, it's a trade-off, and I'm fully aware of that. And I guess if any time I wanted out, I did actually go to university and I read the history of art because I wanted something away from music to have, but even that as a degree is, you know, it's within the art.
Of course. You didn't go for it.
I've never had to kind of go and use that, as it were, to get another job.
I see.
And
well,
manage. But I would say, and my attitude towards the music business and the realities of that, which I know lots of people like shy away from wanting to talk about the hardships and the difficulties, but I think now the way music's changing, that people aren't just walking around, you know, believing that it's not just about everyone that's got a record deal anymore, because of the way social media changed music and streaming and all the changes that have happened in the last 10 years.
Well, sure.
So there's all different types of artists. Of course, you're always going to have your mainstream people with big budgets behind them, but there are so many artists that come from, you know, from either social media or, you know, wherever they're found or discovered, and it's not just plain sailing and a formula for one anymore. So people have different experiences, and I try and speak honestly about how I find my life in the music business, you know, and talk about these things. I think it's interesting and people want to hear, you know.
Perfect. That's perfect. And Hannah, I'm so glad that you brought that up. You know, and I'm so glad that you really, you know, just ultimately kind of dove in, you know, and addressed it, you know, talking about, you know, the hardships and stuff. And yes, you know, music industry is a lot different, you know, per se on discovery, you know, on how people, you know, can discover and stuff. And, you know, one of the things, you know, and I totally agree with you when you're talking about, you know, certain avails, you know, it depends if, you know, companies have money and they have these things they can put behind you and all this stuff. But, you know, I really personally think, though, that what it has happened is it's come full circle and it's come back around to, you know, you have to be talented. You know, you have to be good. Your music has to have quality. You know, the recordings have to sound fantastic. You have to be able to perform what I just heard on your CD. You know what I mean? And those are that's a concept that never changed. You understand? And so, you know, when you've got, you know, when you got a and when you got a style of music, you know, and again, whether it's country, whether it's rock, whether it's blues, whether it's pop, whether it's metal, whatever, there's a certain line, you know, that you understand that this is going to be music that I'm going to be looking for 5 years from now. This is going to be music that I'm going to be looking for 15 years from now. Okay, this is not a song that as soon as I hear it, I'm going to forget about it tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I know that just by sheer virtue of what you've talked about and what you've just shared just in that last statement on, you know, you talked about the trade-off, you talked about your world and, you know, and your music. And I mean, yes, you have a backup plan. You did, you wound up getting a degree, but it was in arts, which is still not too far from your plan that you're on. And I think that's brilliant, you know, but you put it out there and you're like, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I do. And if I full heartedly believe in what I've got, then this will be enough. Right?
Yeah, I think that's really true. That's really true. And I think that's why I've worked so hard trying to hone my craft and my having a great, tight live band that sound, that sound the same as my record. And I am, if I'm judged on the material that I make, I'm real proud of that. And that part of what I do, I'm very certain of. So,
wow. Wow.
You know, I don't need to be judged on what kind of bullshit marketing campaign I have or what
man
behind me tells me I'm worth.
I tell you, well, you know, speaking of marketing, just hey, sweetheart, speaking of marketing, just so you know, I'm in the chat room. I just went to check in real quick. Country Music Social Media popped in, said, shout out from Country Music Social Media, listening in from the UK.
That's Ken. That's my dear Ken. He's a good man. He helps me out a lot online.
So there you go. There's some talk about marketing. Well, there you go. You're right in everything you say. And, you know, and the thing about it is going back to dialing back into, you know, your style and your music and stuff. This being Memphis, everybody knows Memphis, home of rock and roll, and everybody knows, you know, everybody thinks of Elvis, and they think of, you know, all the, you know, the crazy, you know, cool stuff, you know, the blues and Beale Street and stuff. You know, we have a ton of different styles of music, you know, that wind up breeding out, you know, from Memphis per se. But there is a thing, you know, about when you talk about old school country, old school blues, old school bluegrass. You know, we have certain families that were part of those, you know, those moments, you know, in time that are from these areas and stuff. And so it was especially important, and it was more special, I should say, you know, when you hear something like that and you're like, oh my God, you know, you're not even from here. You're not even from here. You know, did you drink the water and take it back with you? You're not even from, and it's like, how did you get the soul? I mean, how did you get that in your heart? You know, and
I studied it, and I've just absorbed every bit of it that I can, and I still find this, you know, music, so much to learn from what has gone already, that, you know, I read a really good thing from, I don't know if you read the blog Saving Country Music.
Sometimes.
And there was a quote from that, and it said, you know, this is about leaving this music in better shape than you found it. And
nice.
I was just like, man, that is so true.
And, nice.
I don't know, there's so much quality in and there's reasons that these people are the pillars of the blues or bluegrass or of country. And, you know, people that want to ignore that and think that they don't really need to respect or pay homage to those pioneers, but, you know, I don't see how you can possibly understand the music that you're making. And it's just, I just, you know, I'm so uninspired by a lot of modern country music today, or what they call country music. And
I get it.
I mean, I've come over to the States lots and lots of times. My sister lives in Austin. I made the record in Austin. And being over there really has helped shape my knowledge and understanding of country music, for sure.
I bet.
I just loved it, and I continue. You know, I have my rituals, playing vinyl, waking up, making coffee, and I don't have a TV. And I try, and, you know, not to say I watch series and films and things, but, you know, I try to be as selective of what I want to let into my life.
Perfect. That is so perfect.
And BS.
And beer. You know what? At least I love you. At least you're honest, man. All right. Just out of curiosity. Okay. What's the favorite? What's your favorite beer? Just curious.
Oh, my favorite beer. I don't know. I haven't been drinking very much recently.
Okay.
But beer is my favorite choice. I like pale ale.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm just curious because if
hoppy, but. I like a pale ale.
I'm just, yeah.
And an IPA.
IPA. Okay, I can do IPA too. Okay. Just making sure, because if you happen to swing back through Nashville for any reason, or you happen to be coming back through, maybe because, you know, Memphis, where I'm sitting from Nashville, is not but like 2 hours and 45 minutes, just so you know, you know.
There you go. I'm actually sat, I should tell you, in a long sleeve Shiner, because my brother-in-law's mum comes from China, and we went to the Shiner Bock factory, and I bought a massive jersey that I wear, so I'm wearing a beer. T-shirt as we speak.
See, represent. represent. Perfect. Well, I love the fact that you just got done telling me about how you've pretty much eliminated anything that you don't want to have any impact, you know, on your thinking, and that up to including TV and stuff. You enjoy your simpleness and simple space. There's something to be said. I mean, when you think about stylistically, you know, the true country music and the true blues music stylistically, you know, everything came from such a place of angst and such a place of trying to rise up and rise above and stuff. And it was always that, you know, thing. People can't do creative things, and people can't create, you know, unless they have no choice but to create. Does that make sense? And when you eliminate all of these things in your world, and you're like, okay, it's just me, and this is what I've got, you know, and so this is the environment that you painted for yourself. That's pretty brilliant. So that's pretty insane.
Well, you know, I mean, there's still stuff like I get involved in, you know, stuff online piss me off, or, you know, certain things. It's all work in practice. I'm by no means some kind of tranquil Buddhist, like, but yeah, these are decisions that now, I guess, I'm in my 30s, I'm kind of done with a lot of what I know I've got wrong, and I'm just interested in focusing now on eradicating the stuff that I don't need, and it's all work in progress, but it does help me creatively, and and I think there is something to be said about, you know, definitely what you were saying, that this is something people are starting to recognize. I mean, I love, like, the tiny house revolution, and, you know, you don't have to live your life a certain way, and
no,
I think anybody who kind of enjoys traditional country music or the blues or
traditional styling,
any of that, and where it came from, be able to put the two and two together and see that there is a a synergy there that's worth noting.
I agree with you. And it's funny, you know, Hannah, and those of you that are just tuned in, talking to our artist of the month, you know, Hannah Johnson, the Broken Hearts, out of the UK, right here on Radio Memphis. It's funny you bring that up, because I was talking to an individual of mine. It's a good friend of mine. And we were talking about some of the stuff in Memphis, you know, and it was some of the history, some of the stuff with Stax, and some of the stuff with, you know, some other places, you know, and things like that, and some of the recordings and studios and whatnot. And, you know, we were making this judgment call about how when the best parts of those times, you know, and those styles, and, you know, when, you know, we're talking records that were hitting and you know, and charting and you know, making all of this money, and there was just whatever deal, it was during a time when everything was, like, so simple. You know what I mean? There was no, like, big offices and, you know, in big places where, you know, everybody and all these Cadillacs and all this other stuff. It was like hardcore people were in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And making this work. And there is there's a secret. There's a key thing with you making that statement. That's a key factor, you know, on separating, you know, the difference on, you know, and what's good and what's great, you know, and that's important too.
Yeah. I think, definitely. And I think Memphis is, like, a very important place right now, given kind of what's happened in Nashville and in Austin. And I think, like, with everything that Dale Watson's doing, bringing the Ameripolitans there, and with so much history of music in Memphis, and with house prices, you know, not being completely outrageous as they are in Nashville and Austin.
Right.
This is a really exciting place for music right now, because it's still, I don't know, that there's still options for musicians and people that aren't kind of, you know, washed out by the kind of madness of those other two cities. And I've been to Memphis a couple of times, but I'd really like to come back. And
right,
I would like to go to the Ameripolitan next year. And my sister's been in such, what a great time she had going doing the Stax Museum.
Mm-hmm.
and all of it. So
there's so much more. There's so much more.
Diana, I could be there quicker than you know it.
There, and you could, you know. And it's funny that you bring up Dale Watson, because I was thinking it was one of the conversations you and I had, you know, off the phone and stuff. You know, I told you that Rick, you know, the guy that created Radio Memphis and stuff like that, he was actually on a plane, and this was like about a month or two ago. He was on a plane. He was actually going down to Austin, you know, take care of some personal business and stuff like that. Well, he ran into Dale on the plane ride, and
there you go.
And what was so funny was Dale was so cool about it, because he was like, oh my God, it's Radio Memphis. And we're like, what? You know us? It's like, we know you, man. Aww. You know, and it was real sweet. And you know what was really beautiful about all of that is that, you know, he was talking, he was actually going to want to, he wanted to come and he wanted to do some recording down in our studio, because we have a recording studio as well. And, you know, that was actually, you know, built up for by some pretty amazing people. And so he was talking about coming to our deal, and it was a thing. I mean, it was like getting back to Memphis to do this. You know what I mean? And there was an impactful statement. And I'm so glad. It means so much to me, you know, to hear from somebody all the way from the UK, which I think is just your music is amazing. You're an amazing artist, and you're telling me about Memphis. I'm like, now see, this is cool. Aww. This is cool. I'm like, okay, so okay, you see it, you know. We'd love to have you down to here. You know, you've got to tell me that at some point you're at least coming to Nashville at some point.
Well, yeah, we'll make it work, definitely. Well, because my sister lives in Austin, I come over quite a lot anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, whoever I'm in, you will be the first person I call, my darling.
Are you kidding? And we're going to get that beer, because apparently Batty just chimed in. He sent me a message. He goes, her favorite pub is the Hare and Hound.
That's right.
He knew.
Weekend.
See, your never secret your secret has been busted out.
<There you go.
laughs> perfect. I am so thrilled that we've made this connection. This can't be the last time we get to catch up with each other, okay?
Oh,
it can't
thank
be.
You, and I so appreciate your support coming from little old me.
Oh,
in England. And,
stop. Are you kidding?
It really does mean a lot that you kind of got what my record was about.
I do. I do.
About why I've chosen the influences I have and
I do.
What I seek to do through making the kind of style of country that I do. And it's not that common here in England, but I'm sure waving that flag for traditional country and honky-tonk music.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? It was like, where's this been? Where's this been? You know, we're like, oh my God, are you kidding? Just out of curiosity, you know, when you're talking about the style of music, I know your family, you know, are very influential for you, and you know, and your father especially has to be a mentor to an extent. Are there artists, you know, are there artists and stuff that you've sat down and worked with and been like, hey, I'm, you know, this is what I do, and I want to learn more from you? Do you have mentors, or do you have anybody that you really kind of collaborate with?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Sarah Price, who I've written two of the songs, Morning Cocktail and Your Girlfriend Hates Me. She was of a band called the Jitterbug Vipers with the late, great Slim Ritchie, who was a great guitar player.
Wow.
And she went to Berkeley, and she's a great one. She does, she's a bit more jazzy than what I do. We're very different stylistically, but yeah, something seems to happen when we write together. Also Tony Price, who is a really famous singer in Austin, Texas. She's actually just been inducted into the Austin Music Hall of Fame last year. And I've stayed with her, and she's been a great mentor to me.
Wow.
And taught me a lot about kind of singing and being a woman in this industry. And then there's people like, you know, Emily Gimble, who I got and managed to get on the record, who I'm just such a huge fan of.
Wow.
Like, when I grow up, I want to be like Emily Gimble. I think one of the best talents just going at the minute. I think her piano playing and
wow,
her voice are just stunning, and
you don't know,
she sure knows her stuff.
Perfect.
And another one comes from Austin, those are some of them who are very much, you know, still around today.
That's insane.
So it's not just because my sister always says you like all the old dead guys, and I must say Ray Price and George Jones are played a lot in my house, but it's not, you know, obviously I do have not just the old deck guys that I listen to for inspiration.
There's nothing wrong with that though. I mean, but there's, you know, if you can get some info and you can get that few moments and stuff, man, that stuff is priceless, man. Their stuff still means something. That's my point. You know, it's like their music's still like a thing. You know, people are like this. You know, there's people that still buy it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what's been so great about Austin and the community. And I will say, actually, especially for women playing in Austin, and Brennan Lee, like, she's my friend, and she's just so amazing. And there are so many women who want to lift you up in Austin and try to support and root on other women that are all kind of working with similar ideas about what they think good music is and how it should be played.
Right.
And, you know, that's really refreshing because it can be quite competitive here, and I don't know if there's that. I don't know that I've had that same experience that I felt in Austin. It's like a welcoming and loving, supportive.
That's perfect.
Community.
That's perfect.
Women. So I'm forever grateful for having that from Austin.
That is perfect. Yeah, we need to get you into some Memphis. Is what we need to do.
Yeah.
We need,
I'm sure it's there too. I just haven't tapped into it yet.
Oh man, it's a different. It's a whole different. It's a whole different world, sister. It's a whole different. Yeah. That's a whole different. You know, grind and you know, and drive. I tell you. I know that, you know, you joke about being in your 30s and stuff. You are still so young, and you still have a lifetime in front of you to change somebody's world. But I know that there has to be some young girls that kind of come up to you and go, you know, Hannah, how can I be like you? How can I do what you're doing?
Some girls that I know have spoken to me about quite personal things that have happened in their lives.
And sure.
The way my music's helped them for like any number of reasons, and you know that never ever doesn't resonate with me, because of course that's how I feel about, you know, the music I've listened to, and that's kind of gold dust, as it were,
for imagine
things that make you feel good about what you're doing.
Absolutely. Now you've got those young artists, you've got those young girl musicians who may have picked up a guitar and they say, Hannah, you know, how can I do what you're doing? What are you telling them?
Practice. That's what my dad said. How do you get to the Grand Ole Opry? Practice. And yeah, practice. You got to practice what you're doing. And I wouldn't like kind of skip corners. You know, and especially with women, you know, learn your instrument properly and find other people around you that you feel that can help you or are interested in, you know, the same directions, and just keep working. And it will come. But I will say that I know how unbelievably blessed and lucky I was to have a parent that was in the business and that has shown me everything I know, because I can only imagine how difficult it would be if, you know, both my parents
weren't
involved kind of like in the arts at some point. So
right,
yeah. But just keep at it and always remember what you love, and don't be afraid if other people don't like that, or if that's different to what other people tell you. You know, listen with your ears and make up your own mind. I feel like so many young people are getting lost and just not actually thinking for themselves. And I think that that's really important for this great music to kind of stay alive and the quality to be made today.
Perfect. You're perfect. I am so glad we finally got to have this chat. You're so funny. I want you to know that you've always got a home here at Radio Memphis. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. So welcome. And you come through, you come to the States, you go to Austin, you go to Nashville, you know, for whatever, you know, we're here. You are more than welcome. You know, if I know you're going to be coming through and stuff, you know, we'll get some things together. You know, and like I said, we got this really, really cool studio too. You know, we may record
amazing
something, you know. Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Let's definitely make it happen in the not too distant future.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to have to hold you to it. I tell you what I am going to do is I'm going to play some more of your music for everybody. I'm going to play about two or three more tunes for everybody. If people are looking for you and they want to catch up with you, what's the easiest way for them to catch up with you?
Everything you can find is on my website, which is just hjbrokenheart.com. www.thebeatlesmusic.com.
Okay.
And there you can find my Twitter, Facebook, all that nonsense.
Perfect.
Perfect. You know, everything's always listed on the website.
So go straight to the website, and that's the launching pad to go anywhere else you need to go.
Yeah.
Perfect. I tell you what. You got any shows coming up?
Yeah, I've got a few shows next week locally in the Midlands. I've got a show coming up in Ealing in London, which I'm looking forward to. And, yeah, some stuff down south as well. I don't know, just trying to keep as busy as possible. No hall too small, you know, no gig too far. Funerals, bar mitzvahs, we'll do it all.
I love it. Well, listen, honey, you enjoy your evening, okay? You give my best to Birmingham, you know, and next time you see Batty, you give him a big kiss on the cheek and you tell him that's from D, okay?
I definitely will. I'll do just that.
You're awesome. Thank you so much again for being our artist of the month for March, honey. We're gonna spend some of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon, sweetheart.
Definitely. Look forward to it.
Okay. Bye-bye, honey.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the lovely Miss Hannah Johnson. Hannah Johnson and the Broken Hearts out of the UK. That is our Artist of the Month for March 2018 right here on Radio Memphis Around the World. What an absolute charming gem of a lady. And I tell you, you got to find out more about what she's got going on. I mean, she just told you, you know, the easiest way you can get to her, you can get to her social media, you can get to wherever her stuff is at. If you simply just remember hjbrokenhearts.com, it's going to tell you everything you need to know, including the shows. And, you know, for those of you that are in England that are tuned in, my God, thank you so much for hanging out with us here in Memphis. You know, she's got some shows coming up April 4th, all right? She's going to be at the Jam House in Birmingham. April 6th, she's going to be at the Dog in Dublin and Wolverhampton. She's going to be at the Hare and Hounds, which I'm pretty sure Batty Walsh are going to be there on the 7th next Saturday. All right, so be expecting that kiss from Hannah on that day from me, D. But if you guys want to know some more of her dates and stuff, again, hjbrokenhearts.com. Fantastic, fantastic talent. You know, we are so proud to have had her on Radio Memphis and Radio Memphis Around the World. If you want to know how country is supposed to be done, how honky-tonk is supposed to be done, and how you rap blues in the middle of the two, this is the one that's going to show you how. So with no further ado, I think I need to play you guys some more Hannah Johnson and the Broken Hearts right here only on Radio Memphis Around the World.
This is your Artist of the Month for Radio Memphis Around the World.
Yoga.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.